I am inspired this morning and thinking about the cross, specifically the power of the cross today. There is a truth that is expressed out in one of these stones out here outside of our chapel that says it something like this: the path of the cross leads us home. And I'm interested in making it home today. I'm interested in seeing my Lord in peace. And so I'm interested today in understanding about the cross. And I'd like to read a few verses in the 23rd chapter of Luke. Desire and interest in your prayers. Luke 23 and 32, this is the account of the crucifixion. We're not going to read all of it. I recommend that you do. But in the 32nd verse, Luke 23 and 32, it said, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." 36th verse says, "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." Verse 39 says, "And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." To me, this is a terrible and beautiful account all at the same time. It's terrible because of the suffering. Horrific story because of the suffering. But this is a beautiful story because of the result that took place because of the willingness of Jesus Christ to be hung on the cross. And what happened on the crosses that day. We've just read a story here of three men and three crosses. One went to the cross willingly. Two went to the cross unwillingly. Two yielded in the end to the cross and lived. One was bitter and died. Two were guilty and punished. One was innocent. Two crosses lifted lives up to eternal life. And one of these crosses resulted in eternal death for one of these men. Covered a number of situations, didn't it? And in every case, there was a cross that was present. And I want to say this morning, folks, that we too will bear crosses in life. We too will face crosses in life that likely we never anticipated facing. We will face places in life that are more difficult than we ever anticipated facing. That becomes a reality of life for all of us. Some face more difficult crosses than others, but we all will face crosses that are difficult in this life. And we will carry our cross in a way that helps lead us to life. Or we will allow the crosses that we face to result in death for us. And it's our choice. You choose. We choose which way it will be. We will not choose whether or not we'll face crosses. We will all face crosses in life. Don't ever let the enemy, young people, tell you that there's no crosses associated with the world, because that's not true. He also tells us that we are not able to face the crosses that Jesus prepares for us. That's not true. And that somehow we can avoid the most difficult of crosses. We will face crosses in this life. And they will be to us an avenue and mechanism for us to make it home. Or the crosses will be to us something that results in death. And again, it is your choice. I want it to result in life for me. I know tonight, this morning, that willingly and by choice, bearing crosses willingly. I willingly and by choice, in some cases, will bear this cross. Sometimes associated with being a child of God. Sometimes crosses that are associated with willingly, steadfastly making decisions that are right and good and godly. Even when there's pain associated with it, when there could be seemingly a better way. I know that willingly embracing those crosses is not natural. It is not something that we gravitate towards. It's not something that on our own that we normally just say, oh yes, please, in most cases. We don't ask and desire pain. And some crosses that we bear, some crosses result from consequences of the decisions and mistakes that we have made in life. There are other crosses that we bear that are specifically and lovingly designed by Jesus Christ Himself for you and me personally. But in both cases, whether they are crosses that have been created through mistakes and consequences that we have made in life, or whether they are crosses that Jesus Christ specifically designed for us at their inception, in both cases, there are crosses that the Lord wants to be able to use for us to help get us home. There are crosses that He doesn't want to result in our death, doesn't want to result in us losing our joy in life. But there are crosses that the Lord wants to put His hands around. He wants to be involved with. He wants to be there to help use them to get us home. And I want to make it home this morning. I have a question for you today. What do you think that the thief that found peace on the cross, what do you think his point of view is of the cross today? If you were to be able to ask the thief that made peace with Jesus Christ, and you would be able to meet him and say, tell me, what do you think about the cross? What would he say? And if you'll give me just a little bit of liberty this morning, when I get to heaven, I have a few things I'd like to, and a few people I have a special interest in talking with. I'd like to meet the thief that was on the side of Jesus that day that made peace in his heart. And I just wonder if maybe the discussion will go something like this. If I say, "Sir, you look like you were the thief that was on the cross beside Jesus. Is that right? Yes, I am that man. Tell me today, what was that day like for you when you found yourself on the cross? Oh, listen, I got up that morning and I found out I was going to be crucified, and I had watched others be crucified in the past, and it was a terrible, horrible feeling that just swept over me, and I couldn't hardly walk, and the fear that I had was almost debilitating, and I wondered, is there any way to avoid the cross? Is there any way of escape? Is there any way that I can get out from where I am, out from those that have me bound and in bondage, and be able to escape the cross? Because my fear was something that I had never experienced before, and all that got a hold of me and put me on the cross, and the pain was more than what I can describe to you. The lashings that I took, and the nails that they put through my hand, and I couldn't move, and it was a horrific experience. But listen, Brother Rob, that wasn't the end of the story. I was on the cross, and I began to think about my life, and began to think about the judgment that was before me, and began to recognize the need that I had in my life that I had never recognized before. I didn't know I had the need that I had until the day that I was on the cross, and until the day that I experienced the pain in my hands and my feet and my back and the discomfort. I didn't know that I had such great need, and as I hung on the cross, I realized, oh, that I had no more opportunity to make it right with God. I had no more opportunity to be able to live a life that He would be pleased with. And I was getting ready to face Him, and I began to be sorrowful for the way that I lived. And as I was hanging there on the cross, oh, all of a sudden I realized that Jesus looked at me. Oh, I looked over there and Jesus was looking at me, and I saw a look of love, and I saw a look of care and compassion that I had never seen before. And it felt like there was something that just coursed through my whole body, and I felt an overwhelming sense of forgiveness, and I felt an overwhelming sense of peace that I had never found before. And oh, I asked God to forgive me. In my heart, I was sorry, and Jesus looked at me with such love, and I felt so unworthy as I hung there on the cross. And oh, I began to shift my focus from the pain to the experience that I was feeling because of Jesus. And oh, all of a sudden, the Lord told me the most sweetest words I'd ever heard in my life. He said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And oh, I have been here in heaven ever since. And the cross became the most horrible thing for me at the beginning of the day. But by the time all was said and done, it was the cross. It was the cross that Jesus Christ was on. It was the blood that He was shedding. And it was the cross that I found myself on that day that caused me to be here today. And the blessing of the cross that made a change for the whole rest of my eternal life, oh, is something that is beautiful that I want to explain to you and tell you about in the ages to come. Do you think that that's close to maybe what the thief might say? Do you think the thief that faced the cross that day that made peace in his heart, does he have any regrets because of the cross? I don't think so. Oh, the thief on the cross, he caught a vision of it. The cross served its purpose for him and took him home to heaven. And I want to encourage everyone that is here this morning. I know you have crosses. I know you have things in your life that you're bearing. Things that no doubt other people don't know anything about sometimes, that seem almost impossible to bear before you. But the Lord Jesus Christ has an intent of the cross regardless of how you got to that cross, whether it was you in the beginning that caused the cross, or whether it was a cross that Jesus Christ Himself designed for you. The intent of Jesus Christ this morning is that that cross would help us learn about ourselves, would cause us to humble ourselves, would cause us to die out to those things in our life that separates us from the joy that Jesus Christ has to give us in this life and the life that's coming after. That is the intent of Jesus Christ with the crosses that are in our lives. Yet in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, we read a scripture that says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I'm preaching about the cross today. And I have an idea that the preaching of the cross to many of the people, when they begin to hear about the value of the cross, when they begin to hear about the value of willingly suffering for Jesus, it seems like it's foolishness to them. But all the scripture said that those are the people that will perish. I don't want to perish today. I'm not interested in perishing. I'm interested in finding eternal life. I want to experience abundant life. I don't want to be of the number that perishes because I feel like that the suffering of the cross, the preaching of the cross, is foolishness. But I want to be able and willing to embrace the crosses that come my way. Sometimes it takes time. I'm sure it took that thief some time. He didn't embrace that cross when he first got on it. And I don't think that the Lord thinks that when we get crosses in front of us, that as Christians we just immediately say, "Oh yes, this is exactly what I want, and it feels good." I don't. That's not human, but may God help us to submit to the cross. May God help us get to the place where we say, "Lord God in heaven, may I use this place in my life to be able to understand more about myself that You want me to understand. Lord, help me to be able to get a hold of the power from heaven that I otherwise can't access by myself. And may this cross that I'm facing be to me something that will help get me home. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." Thank the Lord. The cross can be to us the power of God. I'd like to consider Jesus for a moment. Jesus willingly went a little farther, the scripture tells us. Isn't that what He said when He was in the garden? He went a little farther. There was nobody pushing Him further. But Jesus Christ on His own, with the cross of death in front of Him, with the humiliation in front of Him, with the pain in front of Him, with the thorns that were going to be pushed in His head in front of Him, with the whip, with the nails, with all of that in front of Him, Jesus Christ, it said, He went a little further and He persevered and He prayed to His God and Father in heaven, "Lord, help me." To the time that He got to the place where He was willing and had the strength to go face the cross. And oh, He faced thirst on so many fronts. Jesus Christ faced thirst on so many fronts. And we too will face thirst in our lives. We will thirst for companionship. We will thirst for relief. We will thirst for inclusion. We will thirst for having satisfaction and soul peace. We will thirst for those that are our loved ones to be able to get a hold of truth and embrace it and enjoy the fulfillment of God. We will thirst for these things. Jesus Christ thirsted for these things, and He willingly went to the cross. Why? Why did Jesus Christ willingly go to the cross and face that when He was Jesus? When He could have called 10,000 angels down, why did He willingly do this? When He could have avoided it. Last Sunday, we don't remember if we turned there or quoted it, but in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter and the 2nd verse, it said, "Who for the joy that was set before Him." That's why He went to the cross.
That's why he did what he didn't have to do, because he saw the joy that was on the other side of the cross. So it said, for the joy that was set before him, he was willing to endure the cross. He was willing to despise the shame that was associated with it. So I'm not going to let the shame have any influence over me. I despise its value. I'm just going to set the shame off to the side. That's what that means. And I am willing to go to the cross. Why? Because he saw the power of the cross. He saw the doors that the cross was going to open. He saw the change that could be wrought in the lives of other people because of the cross. And this morning, he wants the same thing for you. He wants the same thing for me. He doesn't want it to just be himself that went to the cross and died and resurrected. But this morning, Jesus Christ has that same desire for us, that we too would see the joy that's on the other side of our crosses. That we would see the power of the cross in our lives. That we would understand and be able to get a hold of the things that we can learn for ourselves, that Jesus Christ might be able to get us home. And who best should design the crosses? Me? Should I be the master designer of the crosses in my life? You? Don't we think we know best sometimes, though? Don't we try to modify our crosses? I mean, it's natural for us to try to make things easier in life. God's not asking us to be masochists where, well, Lord, I just want to see how much pain I can bring on myself. But there are crosses that He brings us that He wants us to accept. He wants us to be willing to submit to the crosses and allow them to be used for our good. Jesus Christ is the one that knows best how to design the crosses that are in my life and that I have to face. And so He invites us to come. He invites us to be as clay in the potter's hand, to be made into something beautiful. I want to read just four verses. In the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And this morning, Jesus invites us, each one, to go to the potter's house. Jesus Christ lovingly invites us to come and allow Him to take our lives, that we would submit ourselves as clay in the hands of the potter. That we would allow His love, that we would allow His care, to be able to carefully trim away those places that are hurtful to us in life, to be able to start to reconstruct the marred places in our lives that perhaps we ourselves created. But we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ, to the potter, that He would be able to do something for us in our lives, to make something beautiful out of something that is not beautiful. Can we trust Him with our lives today? Can we trust Jesus Christ with the crosses that we face? I know the way of the cross is foolishness with most people. And I know that it runs contrary to the message that is so around us, that you don't need to remain in a place of suffering. And that you should be able to have what you want in life. And that there's no real need for us to willingly give ourselves to sacrifice and to bear crosses for spiritual gain. But I want to say this morning that That is where abundant life is found. Jesus Christ said, I am come that ye might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. An abundant life is only going to come about through us submitting to the crosses and to the deaths of different areas of our lives that are put in front of us. Just as a seed goes into the ground and dies, it comes forth and it brings forth beauty that is so far above the beauty of the seed in the first place. And Jesus Christ wants us to be able to get a hold of that in our own lives. He wants to see a resurrection of life in us. He wants to see the walls and the strongholds that are in our lives that separate us from the joy of the Lord. He wants to take those things down. He wants to help us see those places in our lives that aren't pretty and that are marred. And He wants to be able to do something about those. But saints, we have to be willing to willingly pick up our cross. We have to be willing. The Lord is not going to force all of these on us. He's not going to force us to handle the cross in the way that He would like us to handle the cross. They'll be there. But He wants to be able to work with us. And we have to be willing to pick up our cross. We have to be willing, not in bitterness, not with murmuring, not with debilitating fear, carry our cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be willing to come and pick up our cross and carry it and deny ourselves and trust in Him to be our strength in life. What is your cross today? Do you have a cross that you're bearing? Are you willing to let Jesus help you today? Did you know that Jesus, just as He looked on that thief's life with love, Jesus Christ looks on you this morning with love and with care. And He wants to help turn your life into something that is more beautiful than it is today. He wants us to be willing to submit ourselves into the hand of the Master Potter and be willing to do for us that we are not able to do for ourselves. In closing, I want to read some beautiful words that my mind turned to when meditating on this message. It is called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who will start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then $2. Who will make it $3? $3 once, $3 twice, going for $3. But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin, tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased. The auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who'll make it $2? $2,000? Who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin, mess of pottage a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, and he's going and he's almost gone. Ah, but the master comes. And the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of the soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And this morning, we are all souls. We all have lives that are facing and carrying crosses that without the touch of the Master have the capacity to bring us down, result in loss of life. And I know that it's not always easy to have the strings of our life tightened. And it's not always easy in life to have pieces and parts changed in our lives. And I know it's not easy this morning to submit ourselves into the hands of one who will make change in our life. But I want to encourage you this morning that the Master, the potter, invites us to experience the touch of his hand, invites us to experience the power of the cross. That when the music of our lives is ended, it will leave a testimony that demonstrates that we too have experienced the touch of the Master's hand and the joy that is found on the other side of the cross. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.